Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Love the 80s? Then you'll love Virgin Radio 80s Plus.
Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s.
Over on Virgin Radio
80s Plus.
He's been number one all over the world and hasn't taken his foot off the gas even slightly. The 10th anniversary edition of his All the Little Lights album is out today. And first, with his cover of Survivor's Eye of the Tiger, there's nothing worse than a backseat driver, but nothing better than Passenger.
Control room, round of applause, please.
Wow. That's more than I get at most gigs, I reckon, yeah.
How was that for you?
Yeah, all right. I was practising it in the taxi on the way over, so it was skin of my teeth a little bit.
Yeah. Rubbing our faces in it, rubbing our noses in it. That was awesome. Why'd you pick that?
Just because it's a classic power ballad and it deserves a little airtime, I reckon.
Oh my gosh, that was great, Mike. Great to have you here. Let Her Go, the anniversary edition. We're a decade on. You are reperforming it. It's reimagined. This is the album we're talking about, of course. Who's involved? Who'd you phone up? Who'd you get to collaborate?
Well, three or four of my favourite artists, actually, and four brilliant artists that were kind of around at the time of the original album being made. I was lucky enough to be on tour with Ed Sheeran a lot around that time. And he was just so instrumental in Let Her Go getting big in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, he was the first sort of obvious one straight off the bat. And then I've got Gabrielle Aplin, Nina Nesbitt and Foy Vance, who are just phenomenal. Yeah, I'm so lucky.
The album, All the Little Lights, I can't believe it's over a decade, isn't it?
It's terrifying.
It's 11
really
years,
scary,
isn't
yeah.
it? And Let Her Go was number one in 19 countries or 20 countries around the world, something like that.
A bit disappointed with the number in the end, yeah. But yeah, crazy. Really, really crazy.
And where, like, if you had to, if there was a pecking order of where you're massive other than the UK, where do you, who particularly loves you out of those 19 territories?
It tends to sort of fluctuate and change. I think Australia's always been a really amazing market for me. I did a lot of busking over there back in the day, so I sort of...
So you were cover-tastic, I would imagine, then, not just out of the time.
I was cover-tastic, yeah.
Which cover brought in the Australian
probably
books most?
Well, hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. It's just a classic, and it just grabs people, I think.
Yeah, but especially your take on it.
Oh, you're very kind.
Every morning, I either run, shuffle, or cycle through Trafalgar Square, and they have those... They have those sort of circles there. Have you seen them? The busking circles.
Oh, right.
They're like official circles that
that's
are designated
cool.
circles. And there's always people up and doing usually amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever sort of flash mobbed yourself or do you ever pop up and do that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I used to do it all the time. Even after sort of everything got bigger.
That's what I mean. I mean,
yeah.
How did that go down? Was it fun? Was it more fun?
I love it, man. You know, it's obviously different. It's more like an outdoor gig. We have to plan it a little bit more. It's not just rocking
But lots
up.
Of buskers do let her go, don't they?
They do.
And
it makes
so
me very
when
proud.
You do it, people, if they don't look up, they'll hear somebody doing it, usually quite well, I would imagine.
I've had it before. I've been busking Let Her Go, and a kid came over to me and was like, "That's an amazing cover. You sound just like Passenger." Yeah. Genuinely, and I played along for like 10 minutes. I was like, "Man, I love that guy." Yeah,
is
big
that
fan.
All the thrills? What's the name of that amazing acrobat, Max? He's been on the show. Olympian.
Max Whitlock.
Max Whitlock.
Oh, gymnast, yeah.
So Max Whitlock, you know, obviously he can do somersaults in his sleep.
Sure.
And we were saying, weren't we, when he was in Vassos, you know, if we could do that, we just do it in like a queue for the post office. Yeah. You just have to do that
just
stuff.
Just backflipping about, yeah.
But you have your version of that, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's funny with busking. You learn all sorts of ways to sort of draw in an audience. And I think it taught me so much, man. not just as a musician, but just how to be a human being on planet Earth and how to, yeah, navigate it and meet all sorts of people from different walks of life, you know.
It's funny because they say when you're younger, whether you're a comedian or a raconteur or whatever, even acting to a certain extent, I would imagine that you sell your story, you sell your joke, you sell your message. But as you get older, you begin to tell your message.
That's nice.
And it's a whole different energy, you know, and it's a drawing in energy as opposed to a sort of reaching out energy. But your songs have the more mature latter aspect to them anyway. You bring us closer towards you. Where does that come from?
I think that's really true, actually. I feel like when I was younger, I was there was a sort of energy of needing it to happen, yeah, and really sort of wanting to prove myself, wanting to get my music in front of people. And as I've grown up, and maybe it's because it has happened to an extent and I can relax about it,
yeah,
but now it's just like I just want to make music that I'm proud of and that I love and that hopefully connects with other people. And I think when you have that intention, only good things can happen, probably.
Well, All the Little Things, the album that started it all for Mike, for Passenger, 11 years ago, is now available as an anniversary edition. It's out today, passengermusic.com, on all formats. Is there any vinyl action going on?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, yeah, there's special signed vinyl website, actually. Passenger Music.
Was the vinyl a gamble? How many have you gambled on vinyl copies?
We've gone for 300,000, but I'm pretty confident that we'll shift them. No.
Vinyl?
No, I'm kidding.
You should have gone with that. I was all in.
Yeah, they're in a warehouse somewhere. No, 2,000 or 3,000, I think.
See, I want one of those, please.
Of course.
I'd go and buy one, but if you've got one on you, I don't want it.
I'm sure we can dig one out for you, mate.
I've got to sand the garage door down again today. It's taking me forever. And I've got a turntable in the garage.
Oh, nice.
I'd love to have that on.
All right, we'll hook you up.
That'd be amazing. But we're 9 albums down the line from the original. That's a lot. You've been quite prolific, my friend.
I have, yeah. I've always written a lot. It's always kind of flowed out of me. I'm really lucky like that. I don't have writer's block, and I don't sort of go away and write. I just constantly write.
Yeah.
So, you know, I never feel too far away from it. And yeah, over the years, it's been great. I think, you know, by the time I've recorded an album, released it, toured it, I've kind of got another one ready to go. So yeah, it's just been a sort of conveyor belt, really.
My friend Seth Godin, he says there's no such thing as writer's block. There's just bad writing. But you have to write badly to get to the good stuff.
Yeah. You do. You have to just churn keep through going, the stuff that's not quite there.
Yeah. Writer's block is just a fear of what other people think about what you're going to write that day. And they do say, you know, good writers don't think and then write. They write themselves into thinking that day about what's on their mind.
Yeah. And I always felt as well that if you're under pressure, that's genuinely when you start writing stuff that isn't quite you, writing stuff because you've got a time limit and whatever.
Yeah.
That's the danger zone for me. I think I always just try to take the pressure off and just say, if I write, I write. If I don't, I don't. If it's brilliant, it's brilliant. If it's not, it's not. And you just have to turn up and do it. I think that's the key.
Yeah, and also if you are writing under pressure, it's coming from the wrong place. So sometimes you get hit songs that just have the wrong energy about them. And sometimes you get songs or whatever it may be, whatever content, whatever sort of lane of art you're in that isn't so good but has great energy behind it. And I think if you keep going, we say a lot on this show, it's not about the action, it's about the energy behind the action. You know, I had an issue this week and it's like, it was very, very... I wasn't sure what to do about it. And I just thought, well, I mean well.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go and do it. And it turned out fantastic.
Yeah, nice.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
And we had Johnny Marr on the show at this time last week.
Oh, cool.
The great Johnny Marr.
Wow.
And every music... I'm going to buy a warehouse full of Johnny Marr books and give them to everybody that I love that comes on the show, especially those that come in wielding a guitar, because the book is called Johnny Marr's Guitars.
Nice.
Because he has a collection of 132 guitars and they've been shot like supercars or supermodels.
Wow.
And there's this beautiful photography of each guitar, sometimes more than one photograph of each guitar. And then there's the story about the guitar. And the stories about... There's not a single dull story. If this was like Columbo, there's not a duff episode.
Wow.
And it's awesome. And he was saying to us last week that sometimes, not only had writer's block, but when it wasn't coming from him, sometimes it came from his guitar. And he said some guitars he bought, and they had Smith songs in them.
Interesting.
Because you brandish a guitar, if it's not coming from you, sometimes can you start playing the guitar and you start hearing it coming back your way?
I definitely think there have been moments where I absentmindedly pick up a guitar, not thinking about writing a song, not thinking about much at all, and straight off the bat, something just kind of flows out of my fingers.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing... And I actually, Let Her Go was like that. I genuinely remember walking into this dressing room. It was more of a broom cupboard, really, but in a pub in Australia, and just picking up the guitar and honestly playing the riff like I'd written it 10 years before.
You is know, that what happened? Is that where it happened?
Yeah. So
is that interesting? Was that pre-gig, post-gig, pre-gig?
Pre-gig.
Pre-gig. So you're warming up?
Yeah.
And I just, you're warming up and this song comes... Yeah. What? That's just rude.
It's odd, isn't it? And pretty much finished it in 45 minutes.
No way.
I know. And other songs that I've written have taken months before.
I wonder, you know? if you went and did a survey of all musicians, past, present and future, even ones that aren't with us here anymore but will always be with us via their music elsewhere, I wonder if all the great songs came quick. Most of the great songs came quickly, because we keep hearing that story.
I think there's a lack of overthinking that goes with a song that just falls out. If it just comes out naturally and you don't have to do much about it, then it's kind of fully formed,
yeah.
and it's you know, and it's right.
Bernie Taupin said on this show a couple of weeks ago, he said that the lyrics to your song happened in 10 minutes when he was sitting at Elton John's mum's tea table and he was 17 or 18.
Wow.
I know. By the way, listen to the lyrics from an 18-year-old. What the heck? If I could swear, I would. And it only happened because Elton's mum was making them both a fried egg sandwich and she couldn't get the oil up to the heat in time. So she said, you're going to have to wait for your sandwiches.
Wow.
So whilst he was waiting, he wrote your song. And if the eggs had been fresh or been out of the fridge for longer, we wouldn't have your song. But again, 10 minutes, start to finish. Then he gave the lyrics to Elton. 20 minutes later, job done.
That's insane.
It's the best story, isn't it?
It really is wonderful, yeah. But I believe it as well.
Let Her Go, right? Avastos, how many downloads?
Oh no, but I've just looked. It's absolutely insane. It's in the billions, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 2 billion and counting. It's the second most Shazam song of all time. What's the first?
Yeah,
probably Crazy Frog or something like that. I'm not.
No, but you know, Crazy Frog was Crazy Frog. I thought Gangnam Style, but you wouldn't have to Shazam it because you know what it is. Wonder what it is.
I should have that fact to.
I like the fact you don't know it. I would know it. If it was me, I would know all of them. The top 100.
But it's so funny that you mentioned Shazam, because actually, the way Let Her Go got big, I released the album, I released Let Her Go, nothing. I was a busker, I was playing in pubs, nothing happened for 9 months.
Yeah.
And we got an email out of the blue one day, me and my manager, from this guy called Dave in Holland. And he was like, I was sitting in a cafe in Amsterdam and Let Her Go came on. I didn't know what it was, so I Shazammed it. And I love it and I want to take it to radio. He's a radio plugger over there. Do you mind if I take it into radio? No worries. If it doesn't work, you don't have to pay me anything. So I was like, yeah. What? I kind of thought it was a bit of a scam or something. I was just like, but, you know, fine. Knock yourself out. 2 weeks later, it was number one in Holland and then it dominoed around the world from there. So without Shazam, without that moment, without, you know, it's a bit like the fried egg story. It's like without Dave going into the cafe and bothering to Shazam a song that he liked the sound of.
So Elton's mum's cold eggs too soon out of the fridge.
Yeah.
Is your Shazam?
Yeah, I think so.
Love it.
Yeah.
And from Elton's mum's cold eggs to Elton's cold heart, which is the most Shazam song of all time.
No way!
No way!
Cold eggs, cold heart? Jeez, Elton, you need to warm things up a bit
segue,
more.
That was some segue, man. Yeah.
What's wrong with him?
If you will.
Yeah. Every time we've seen him, he's on fire. Yeah. Maybe that's it. Overcompensation from childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Fried egg sandwich childhood trauma. I'm so pleased for you, Mike. It's so great to see you again. It's been ages, hasn't it?
It really has, yeah.
I remember when you came to Radio 2 and we were all like, oh my God, this is so... And you're awesome. And you're no age, are you?
No age?
Yeah.
Well, how old am I?
Yeah.
Getting on for the big 4-0, actually, yeah. Yeah, I know.
And you
think I look 25.
Is...
Yeah.
I'm 3 years off 60.
No.
I am, mate, and I am loving every second. There's only more gold to come.
Looking well for it, man.
Look, see these lot over here. Don't feed the animal. Don't poke the bear. Okay. Do you want to come in and listen to Mike? Come on. Come in. Let's have a live audience. Come on in. These guys are passing execs on a bit of a studio tour.
Nice.
Chris and Jill, come in. Let's have a proper audience. Come on, guys. Because this is... You don't often get to hear a song this good, this close, up and personal. As long
pressure.
As you don't mind.
No, of course. It's nice.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys? This is Passenger. Give him a round of applause. Come on. Yay! Are you ready to be blown away?
We are.
Sorry, I'm not having that. Are you ready to be blown away?
Yay!
Okay, here we go. Let Her Go. 11 years on and still sounding as good as ever, if not better than ever.
Thanks very much.
Mike, that was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
How many times did you play that song? 1 million times.
6.5 million times. Okay. Yeah, but I feel it every time, and I really do.
Do you honestly?
Pretty much, yeah.
You were feeling that then, weren't you?
I was, for sure.
Oh, what just happened, guys? Whoa. Yeah, I think you're done for the day, aren't you, really? There's the pub, or there's the pub. I mean, I don't know how you follow that. Great, that was awesome. Let Her Go. You're very welcome. Anniversary edition out today. All the Little Lights anniversary edition out today on vinyl. If you like it, passengermusic.com for more information about Mike and everything wonderful that he does. Mike, you are playing some live events. They've all sold out. So we can't go to those, can we?
Not at this stage, no. But I'll be back playing bigger gigs next year and stuff.
All so right. They'll be... you know, we have
actually one gig I can tell you about is I'm playing Cue the Music at Kew Gardens in July. In the summer, and there's still a few tickets left for that. Yeah,
go to Cue the Music, which is a great thing because we've been involved with that before. Some of us have been. I haven't been actually to that, but I hear the guy who books music for Carfest also books music. Matt Priest books music for there. Go and warm up there and come and play Carfest for us.
That sounds delightful.
Can we do the deal?
Certainly can.
Let's do the deal today. Dates, yeah. All right. Are you in the mood for another? I am. Do you want another one, everybody? I know you're busy. I know you've got things to do, people to see. It's up to you.
If you've got any tears left, you can.
What do you fancy? Do you want to give us one more? You don't have to.
I'll do another one off the album if you'd like.
Yes, please. What do you want? What do you fancy?
I'll play a song called Circles, which is a song I wrote about my best mate when we were growing up, a guy called Jamie. We met when we were like a year old and we're inseparable throughout our childhood, and then, you know, life happens and we see less of each other now. But I'd like to dedicate it to Jamie if he's listening.
Lucky Jamie. Here we go. Very strong. I can't believe you went for the whistling at this time in the morning.
It was a bold move.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it paid off or not.
I think feeling very punchy. Yeah. Clearly things are going well. He went for the whistling, everyone.
It means a lot, guys. Thanks very much.
Right, it's great to see you.
Lovely to be here, man.
You
Thanks
are
for
the
having
best.
Us
Leanne Rimes is coming in a minute.
That's amazing.
Stick around, man.
I will.
You are more. Oh, look at all these things about you. Do you want to hear some of them?
Okay, go on, inflate the already inflated ego. Go for it.
First saw Passenger in 2012 at Blissfields Festival in Hampshire. He was playing the Sound of Silence in the acoustic tent. He blew us all away.
Fond memories,
fabulous artist Sally in Hampshire. Ben, impressed with Passenger, has been my favourite artist for over 10 years.
Oh,
I'm so looking
legend.
Forward to seeing him at Kew next July. Jeanette says, my son Charlie and our best friend often play Let Her Go together on nights around ours. We just love it. Happy memories. Richard in Yokohama, come in Japan.
Awesome.
Goodness me, I've heard Let Her Go 1,000 times, but that got me like nothing else. Thank you so much. Mark says, my son Harry Hatton turns 18 years old today. Harry has Down syndrome and ASD, and we listen to your show together on the way to school every morning. This is such a special morning. Thank you so much for the live news.
Happy birthday, Harry.
Happy birthday. Claire in Flintshire, also another great happy birthday treat. Doesn't get better than this live music all the way. Oh, awesome. So good to hear Passenger's incredible cover this morning and his legendary song, Adam from Stoke, such a distinctive and beautiful voice. And they go on and on and on. You're the best.
Thank you.
You're the best.
Really appreciate
He's the best.
It. Thanks,
He's
man.
The best.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We have a legend in the studio. No, I'm not just talking about Vassos Alexander.
Yeah, we've got another one.
We have a legend introduced by a legend. Off you go.
She's the Grammy award-winning, multi-platinum selling country music idol who showed Taylor Swift how it's done. She's back next May for her first UK gig in 6 years, and tickets go on sale this morning. They say sometimes there's no rhyme nor reason, but there's always every reason for Leanne Rimes.
Yeah, oh, that was good. That was good.
How are you?
I'm well.
It's such an honour to meet you.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Thank you. It's so good to see you.
Oh, gosh. It's the best. You're the best. You're one of the best ever.
Thank you.
And you've been at it since you were like 5, 6 years old.
Yeah.
Still. And you're still going strong. And there's this big gig. It's a one-off. All the more special because the fact it's one night.
Yeah, it's one night only at the O2 on May 8th. I'm so excited. It's our biggest show we've played here yet. So I'm looking forward to it.
Leanne Rimes live at London's O2 Arena, leannerimes.com. Tickets go on sale today at 10 o'clock and they sell out at 1 minute past 10, which is great.
Amazing.
That's what's going to happen there. And you've chosen Motorhead Day.
What's Motorhead
Day? The 8th of May!
Perfect.
Yes, of course it is.
We have to do some Motorhead then.
Yeah, you've got to do some Motorhead. Do you love a bit of Motorhead?
I don't really know much Motorhead.
Well, you know that one now.
Yeah, now I do. Now I'm going to have to look
have
that
it
up.
Have on me, baby.
We're going to open the show with the 8th of May.
tell us about your musical taste. We'll talk about everything. And we've got plenty of time. Yeah. I know you're on this morning, aren't you?
Yes,
on,
I am.
On the TV.
I will be.
So you'll get to see the killer.
The jumpsuit.
We used to have Jumpsuit Friday on the show.
Oh, you did?
We always used to wear jumpsuits.
It's my favourite thing. If I can put something on and just slip it on, I'm so happy.
But there's a thing about being all joined up, isn't there? It's like a second skin.
It is like a second skin.
Something's going on there.
It's good.
You feel constricted and liberated. It's really weird,
isn't
it? It is. It's a conflict that you enjoy. Anyway, so other kinds of music. So not heavy metal.
No, I do love heavy. I do love some heavy metal.
Right.
But I love Metallica. Who doesn't love Metallica, right? Metallica. Disturbed. I can listen to some Disturbed, which is pretty hard.
Yeah.
I listen to everything. Like I listen to everything up from Florence the Machine to David Gray to Ray LaMontagne to like Prince to like, I mean, I'm all over the board.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love those names you just mentioned there.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Off the top of your head, that was quite good, I gotta say.
Those are my go-tos lately.
Florence the Machine, David Gray.
Yeah, David is amazing.
He's amazing.
He's so sweet.
And he's so, you know, it's not false modesty. He's almost embarrassed to be as good as he is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
He's very unassuming.
He's too unassuming.
He is. It's all an act, trust me. Biggest ego ever. No, I'm just kidding. He's a dear friend. I love him to death.
All right, so you are where you are in your life, which means you've got a great back catalogue to pick from for this one-off show. You're going to come and tear it up. Once again, Leanne Rimes, London's O2 Arena, Wednesday, 8th of May, Motorhead Day. It's not difficult to remember. You know Star Wars Day, don't you?
May the 4th be with you.
Yes,
there we go.
May's pretty good for these hot kind of novelty dates. Must come up with another one. I know, have you done this show before? Are you doing a flavor of this show now?
We've been touring the Story So Far tour in the States.
Right.
And so we're bringing it over here in May. And yeah, we have 30 years of music to dig
Why
from.
Why are you frowning?
I mean, it's insane. Like, I'm only 41. So like, just the math like doesn't equate, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't add up. But 30 years of music. We're, of course, all the hits. I can't wait. I know people are going to, like, the wall of sound coming back at me with Coyote Ugly is going to be insane.
Oh my gosh.
People are obsessed over here with that music.
And you were you didn't star in Coyote Ugly, but you were invited
to play
on set, weren't you?
Yeah, it was. They had filmed the whole movie about 2.5 months after wrapping, after I had finished the soundtrack, they were like, we have to write this into the film. So we came back and filmed the incident.
By the way, it's incredible to believe, but some people haven't seen the movie Coyote Ugly.
I mean, you must.
They don't even know what we're talking
you
about.
Must.
It's like comes from a garage band. It's one of the, have you seen it?
Nope.
Oh, you
what?
Why?
I haven't.
I'm
trying my best to be nice to you today.
Yeah.
But it's really difficult right now.
You need to go watch it.
It's amazing. That film is amazing.
It is. It's great.
It's so life-affirming. It has a twist at the end, but it's the most joyous twist of all time.
It is.
Isn't
it's
it?
it's a good flick.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's a great flick. So have you mixed it up? Because Madonna, she's doing her thing, and you know, obviously, I saw Madonna back. Not obviously, but I was very lucky to see Madonna many times back in the day, mm-hmm. in front of no one and then everyone. Yeah. And then I worked with her a couple of times. And so people said, are you going to go and see her on this tour? And I said, well, not really, because I've sort of, you know, I was there. And people said, no, she's never done this before because she's never had all this to do before.
Oh, yeah. You know?
And your journey is, like you say, 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, what a fun meeting that was. Well, what song should we do? Which song should we leave out?
It is. And I love, we've been doing this in the States too, kind of, we have a set list, but every show's a little bit different.
Oh, really?
Because we ask the fans what they want to hear. So people come at me with their stories and why they want to hear things, which I love hearing their stories of how my music has been a part of their life in some way. And so, yeah, the show's a little different every night. So I'm sure we will be on socials asking people what they want to hear. So they'll help us out with the set list a bit.
I'm gonna play this, a little bit of this, if you don't mind, for people who think they know you and know they love you, but may not know the opening chapter of how amazing Leanne Rimes has always been.
Uh-uh.
Okay, how old is Leanne there?
20?
13. Yeah. I was actually 11.
11. Sorry.
No, it's funny. I was 11 when I recorded that.
I was actually my best at 13.
No, I was 11 when I recorded that. It came out when I was 13, and my record label had me go in and re-record it, and they wanted to put out like the 13-year-old version. Well, they screwed up, and they actually put out the 11-year-old version. So that's me at 11.
I mean, to be able to do that with your voice at such a tender age, physically, anatomically, you know, how on earth were your vocal cords so developed that they could do that then?
Because I had been singing since I came out. I mean,
so honest, Leanne, but at the age of 11, I couldn't pull a yodel off like that.
No,
that's for sure.
And I had just learned how to yodel around that time. I used to sing at this place called the Mesquite Opry in Texas, and the lady there that owned it knew how to, she was this world class yodeler, and she taught me how to yodel on the back of a, float and a parade in like 20 minutes. And I got up and sang the song called Cowboy Sweetheart. And then when my dad got this demo in of Blue, it was awful. And he threw it away. I dug it out of the trash can. And he came home like 2 hours later and I had put that yodel thing in it. I just fearless as a child. Like, look, Dad, I made the song cool.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's not about bravery. It's about fearlessness.
It is, totally.
Bravery is contemplated. Fearlessness is just natural. It's just your true nature, as it were. Hank Williams, of course, King of the Yodeling.
Oh, amazing, yeah.
Yeah, there's a great film, Hank Williams' film, isn't there? And where the actor had to learn to yodel and carried it off with aplomb. And then, over the years, the style evolved. And I know we joked about Taylor Swift earlier on, but looking at Taylor now, is there a lot of empathy? Probably wrong word, you know.
I mean, I understand that path. You know, she used to come to my shows when she was like really little. And which is crazy. She's not much younger than I am. Obviously, I've influenced her music. I've been around for so long. But she used to come and hold up signs like, I love you, Leanne. And crazy to see what she's done. It's amazing.
She's not that much younger than you now. But, of course, the younger you are, the bigger percentage-wise that
of course.
Age gap is.
Yeah.
So she was once half your age, I would imagine.
Yeah,
that's when she was
basically
watching you. And have you ever come close to working with her? Because that'd be a...
I would love to work with her. I think that would be incredible. We've never talked about that, but I'm sure we can make that happen.
Can you imagine if you wandered into the middle of one of her shows and she did the same? I love it when that happens.
Yeah, that's
don't
always
you?
Fun. Yeah, I mean, I've worked with so many incredible artists.
Give us a couple of those moments, a couple of collaboration moments on stage that the audience maybe weren't expecting.
I don't know if I've done a lot of those, but I did go on with David at a show he did in Arizona, and then we ended up doing the song we did as actually a duet and recorded it. I've recorded with Elton John and Stevie Nicks, and Stevie's amazing. I mean, just the
they're
kindest.
They're all amazing, aren't they?
They really
you
are.
You are amazing.
I've never...
You're one of that gang.
Oh, thank you. No, they always say, like, don't meet your idols because you'll be disappointed. And everybody I've ever met has just... So kind.
Well, it also depends. I think there's a lot of projection in that statement because it depends who your idols are. You may just have terrible taste.
That's very true.
Do you know what I mean? You just may choose people who absolutely suck.
Right? That is true.
But in my experience, as I'm guessing in yours, the bigger they are, the better they are.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you can hear, you know, like horror stories about people. And I always, you know, it's like, don't believe everything you hear. And people might have an off day, but everybody, I've always had great experiences with everybody I've worked with.
Take as you find, man. Take as you find.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm so excited. I really want to come to this gig.
You're going to. You must.
Am I
going to
come?
You must.
I would love to come. What day is it? The 8th of May. Oh, it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Oh, perfect. We can do that.
Can we keep you out late?
Well, as long as we smash the first three shows of that week, we can do. Yeah, we can. We're never going to phone a show in. You know what it's like.
At least you know it. At least come for the first like four or five songs, and you can check out. It's all good.
How is that going to happen?
I mean,
you can't.
I'm giving you an out.
Yeah, I could come for the last four or five songs, but when, you're not going to come for the first four or five and then leave.
I've got an out. I'm getting old, but I'm not that old. I was just giving you an excuse.
So,
as a kid, could you ever believe that when your parents left before the match was over or the gig was over? You think, well, hang on a minute. You go, no, we've got to get out. You don't understand. Traffic's a nightmare. You go, we're in the back seat. It's always a nightmare. It's so boring. We can't even see out the windows. Shut up, Mum and Dad. Let's stay. Your husband may well be the most attractive man I've ever seen.
He really is. It's ridiculous. The older he gets, the more handsome he gets.
And he's an actor. And he's not been acting, but the strike was called off at 1 minute past eight yesterday morning.
Thank
here in
God.
The UK.
We are so excited about that.
So what is he chumping at the bit?
He's ready.
He's been back today.
Yeah, I was saying he's been breaking things at home just so he can fix them. He's super handy. And he just like everything around our house is now that needed fixed is now fixed.
That sounds like
he needs to get back to work.
That sounds like such a country lyric.
Right.
He's been breaking things at home so just so he
including
can fix
them.
Including
my heart.
Yeah. Oh, let's not go there.
No.
The ebbs and the flows of a career, who knows, you know. How's it been? Highs and lows. Let's go for peak. Let's go for three tempo peaks. And they've got to be equidistant apart-ish.
Oh, my God. So I don't even know.
First tipping point was?
First tipping point. Well, Blue was definitely the first tipping
point.
What
about winning your first...
my first Grammy.
Talent competition.
Oh, that was when I was five.
Yeah, five.
I mean, I guess that was the tipping point.
Yeah, but it's funny, we go for the big ones.
No, yeah. I mean, I won this like massive trophy that was like three times the size of me.
Cool.
And my dad watched me perform and then he went hunting because he used to hunt all the time because he's like, I was 5 years old and there was no one in my five and under category. So they stuck me in the 6 to 12 year old category. So he thought, you're not winning. I won the whole competition. So when he got home, he looked at me and he was like, is this what you want to do? And of course, at five, I'm like, sure. I guess I knew I loved it. Like,
all right. So Grammy versus that day.
Yeah. Grammy. I mean, same thing, same feeling. No, I'm sure it was in some way.
And then Blue, which was massive.
Blue was massive. And then I think there's been so many. How Do I Live was so huge. Can't Fight the Moonlight. I mean, definitely Coyote Ugly was on its own.
Yeah.
Took its own little path and trajectory.
And there's something, isn't there, about country and Western fans, the country and Western world, that it's just more foundational. There's a lot of love there. There's a lot of respect. You know, if you are able to serve up not what they need, what they want necessarily, but what they are, what is worthy of them. Because they're there forever, aren't they, country and Western fans?
Yeah, I mean, what was so interesting about Blue at the time is there was such an older sound in the 90s when everything was like super pop-oriented, you know, and it was just so unique. I think people were... you know, really love, they just loved the fact that there was like a classic country sound. And I miss that. Like, I would love to do another like real country record because, you know, I feel like classic country music is a lost art.
So come on.
I will.
You're down?
It'll happen.
Are you writing?
I have collected ideas.
Have you given yourself permission to country it right up? Because that's a thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know, like, so many people look at me and go, I've said I want to make a real country record, and they're like, it won't get played on radio. I'm like, okay.
I don't care.
I don't care. Like, I love the sound. Nobody's doing it. Like, I did it back in the 90s, then I'd do it again.
And what about when country gets big? Because your country songs, they're big country, aren't they?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, I love it. I have so many great fans, like, across the board. My fans are so diverse. And that's what makes my shows so much fun is like everybody that comes is like from a different walk of life. And it's like they all come together and work in some beautiful way.
Yeah. You can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the girl. We're talking Mississippi, the peripatetic childhood, Mississippi, Austin, Texas, where it gets very dry, throated and a bit more a little bit more relaxed and
yes,
one can release oneself a little bit. We talked to Matthew McConaughey about voices and accents. He said, imagine where you are. Imagine how it's making your throat feel and you've got a half a chance to come out of the accent.
Interesting.
Do you like that?
I like that.
But now you're Los Angeles. You're a Los Angelino.
I am. I've been there
for
a while.
And you have land.
I do. I have land. It's green where we live.
Can I inquire as to how many acres? Not from a grandiose point of view, but...
No. I mean, we...
Land is everything.
I mean, yeah, but it's not a lot of land. We have like an acre and a half, but it's like a big piece of property for LA.
Perfect. Me, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have... I once bought a farm. I lived on a farm. I did a farm thing for 5 years. I said goodbye to all this. I thought forever, but I was just in denial. And I basically bought some sand to bury my head in, but just lots of it, you know. And then I discovered that if you buy some land, you it's your responsibility. You have to look after it.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas if you buy a bit of land, an acre and a half perhaps, overlooking somebody else's many thousand of acres, it looks like yours.
Yeah. True. No, we live in this community that's like a horse community. And so like every property is like an acre and a half, 2 acres. And it's like for LA, like that's a big piece of property because usually everything's side by side.
There's a lovely road called Old Ranch Road, which is like that in Los Angeles. And it is like every house is like a mini ranch.
Yeah.
But without the hassle.
Yeah, exactly.
More horses
exactly.
than cars.
Exactly.
More poo than petrol.
No, they're dead, but there's definitely poo out on the street all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I love. I mean, it's nice and quaint.
We were talking about New York earlier this week because there was a New York Marathon last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that 100-odd years ago, there were 300,000 horses in New York City.
Oh, wow.
Which meant there were 20,000 tons of manure every something or other. It was more than every year, and it was so smelly that sailors could smell New York from 6 miles away.
Oh my gosh, now, that's crazy.
I know you love horses, but you can have too many for a while.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Leanne, what else should we say to your fans that are listening now around the world? What do you want to say? What do you want to get out there to your UK fans? But also, this will be seen on YouTube. It's going to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
What do you want to say to your fans?
I love you. I love you. And actually, we have such a little gift today for people. God's Work, which is my latest album, we did a resurrected version today, which has a couple songs that we have resurrected, new versions. There's a song called Innocent that is with this beautiful orchid quartet. So beautiful strings. And then I did a song called Imagine with Love that we resurrected with three gay men's choirs from Sydney, New York, and San Francisco. And it's like this beautiful wall of sound. So go check it out wherever you can stream music. Little gift to you today.
I love that.
Yeah.
The resurrection. It's more Easter than Christmas.
It is a bit, yes.
I know you love Christmas as well. You're Christmasing when you go home, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm Christmasing. I have a holiday tour in the States when I go home. Yeah. So. I'm all about it.
You love the Christmas jam.
I do. So fun.
I also love a gay man's choir.
Yes.
Do you know what? There's a gay man's choir here in London called the London Gay Man's Choir.
Yes.
And they once came into this show, right? And they're the only group of people who have left the studio tidier than they found it.
Gotta love them for that.
You gotta love the Gay Man's
Choir.
You
really do.
It's so organized.
I love it.
Leanne, I can't believe you're here. Honestly, I'm so grateful that
you
came in. When they said, do you fancy Leanne? I said, yes, absolutely we do.
Thank you.
Jeez.
Thanks for having me.
Good for you. Good for you and your gang and your hubby and your life and your songs. And I can't wait for this new country music album to come out because... There are periods in our life, aren't there, where we do give ourselves permission to go back to our true nature.
Oh, absolutely.
When we remember that we have one because it's so easy to forget.
Yeah. I mean, I just love doing unexpected things. Ever since I was a kid, if someone wanted to put me in a box, which they did many times, I was like, I'm going to go the opposite direction.
Yeah,
it was my rebellious streak. Yeah. And it's kind of nice to always do something a little different every time. So.
All right. Well, tens of millions of albums in. All the gratitude.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, thank you all. I look forward to seeing you in May.
All right.
I can't wait.
And not only I, but the girls that work on the show, they want to know, where'd you get your jumpsuit from?
Rivet. I think it's called Rivet. Rivet Utility, I think is what it's called.
Rivet.
Rivet Utility. Rivet. 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 Yes. Just remember that. That'll help you remember it.
All right. If you want to see this amazing jumpsuit, this amazing lady bursting out of your TV screens this morning, ITV. She's on this morning from 10:30. You're awesome. You're amazing.
Thank you.
Happy Christmas.
Yes,
see you on Motorhead Day. Don't forget, a little bit of Motorhead in there wouldn't go amiss. By the way, I dare you.
I might just like put a line in just for you, but you better show up.
The 8th of May. The 8th of May. Leanne Rimes, everyone. Lee and
bye, guys.
Flippy
Cheers.
Rimes.
Thank you.
The Graham Norton Radio Show.
How exciting is this?
With Waitrose.
Over on Virgin Radio.
Up and at them. Come on. Things to do. Don't cheer. You'll just embarrass yourselves. We're not bored of it yet, so it's lovely. There's no stopping them. No stopping them.
The Graham Norton Radio Show.
Oh, there's nothing nicer, is there? Nothing nicer.
With Waitrose. Food to feel good about.
I mean, what's not to like?
Saturday and Sunday from 9:30.
Over on Virgin Radio.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.